Hello, and welcome to the Slidebean Startups 101 podcast, a podcast about what it's like to start a business. My name is Kaya. I am the CEO at Slidebean and your host for today. You started a business and you want to compensate your early employees, or you joined a startup and you were offered stock options as part of your compensation. How do those work? Most startups in the US compensate their employees with a salary, of course, and with stock options. The idea here is giving team members an upside if they collaborate to increasing the company valuation. On public companies, that is, companies whose stock has been listed on a public stock exchange, this works somehow differently. So I won't get into that. I've never worked for one of those companies, so I don't really know. Startup where the stock is owned by the founders and their select investors. It all starts with a stock option pool. This is a pool of shares that the company issues and it then reserves a part of that for employees. On paper, this is a legal document signed and approved by the board of directors, and it represents a new issue of company shares. So the example we'll use today is our own company, Slidebean. In 2016, in combination with our investor round, which is usually when stock option pools are created, we decided to create a stock option pool of around 5% of the company. In this case, the company issued 530,000 new shares of stock, additional to the 10 million shares we had when the company was founded. This means the company now had a total of 10,530 shares issued. Those 530,000 represent 5.03% of the total shares the company has issued. Even though our team had already around 10 people, we wanted to compensate the early employees, those who had joined us from the get-go, in the earliest stages. We also needed some stock options for new, key employees we were about to recruit. Now, at this time, our latest company valuation was around $2.5 million, which means that each of our shares had a value of roughly $0.2374. So say we want to give 100,000 shares, around 1% of the company, to Dwight. If you just gave them these shares, Dwight would have received assets valued at around $25,000, which would be taxable. He would have to pay taxes for these assets that he can't necessarily cash out right away. So instead of giving him these shares, the company gives them stock options, that is, the option to purchase those shares at a defined value. That value is usually connected directly to the valuation of the company at the time. So in this case, the price per share, or strike price, is $0.2374. Now, what's really happening here is the company is giving Dwight the right to buy 100,000 shares at a defined price of $23,740. Here's where the fun happens. Say a few years later, the company gets acquired and the startup is no longer valued at $2.5 million, but at $25 million. At the time of the acquisition, Dwight exercises his stock options. He has this unique right to pay $0.2374 per share. The buyer, however, who's buying the company, has agreed to pay $2.347 per share. The difference, which is roughly $2.11 per share, is Dwight's margin. So just to clarify, Dwight will never have to pay those $23,000 out of his pocket. He'll simply collect the earnings as part of the acquisition paperwork. Now, I've oversimplified this to make it easier to understand. In all likelihood, the company will have issued new shares during that time. That's why it's important to understand that the stock option pool is represented in the number of shares, not in percentages. The 100,000 shares Dwight received represented around 1% of the company back then, but later on, they might represent much less percentage. It's the difference between the strike price and the price per share that gives Dwight his advantage. This is important to understand because if the company doesn't increase in value, then those stock options are not really worth much. The employee can still buy them whenever he or she wants, but that's usually only done close to an acquisition event. Now, it's important to note that most stock options are subject to vesting. The norm is a 12-month cliff and a 4-year vesting period. The point of vesting is that Dwight will only have access to these stock options if he remains as assistant regional manager for a certain amount of time. Another important point here is most stock options expire after 10 years, or 1 to 3 months after the employee leaves the company. In that case, if the company has actually increased in value, the employee might choose to exercise his or her stock options then. They can either keep them for themselves or sell them, depending on the company policy. A fun fact here is how former employees of Uber are struggling to solve this. When they leave the company, they have 30 days to exercise their options or they will be lost. Their options might be worth tens of thousands of dollars, even at the strike price. But it's almost a guarantee that when Uber finally goes public, the difference in the price per share will give them amazing gains. They just can't access the capital yet. So if you're an employee receiving stock options, congratulations. Get back to work and help make your company increase in value. If you're a founder, we have a few free templates of stock option documents at founderhub.io. You can check them out.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember to turn on your notifications for our podcast. You can also follow us on slidebean.com/podcasts. See you next week.